maybe join in the fun. Now the show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn, and the keynotes, all inviting you to...
Bentley, you remember all those rather sly little jokes we've made about the Chancellor of the Exchequer?
Yes.
It was a grave mistake.
Why?
I've just had my income tax demand. Honestly, Bentley, how a man in that position could be so vindictive?
Oh, nonsense. It's a citizen's duty to pay income tax.
Ah, Bentley, I am proud to pay taxes which will help this great country. The only point is I'd be just as proud at half the money. Look at what they're asking. Look here.
Show me. Income tax demand, scheduled gym. What's this? Dear sir, unless you pay the exorbitant figure mentioned below, the next take it from here will be known as the Dick Bentley half hour. Fight him, Jim. Fight him. Don't pay.
Don't pay? Well, that'll mean they'll send me to prison. I'll get 10 years.
The Dick Bentley half hour. I'll start up with 5 or 6 songs and do a fiddle.
No, what? Bentley. You've got to help me. Have you got enough money to pay this for me?
Oh, my dear fellow, I got bags of money. Trouble is, I can't get at it.
Can't get at it?
All that money. Just lying.
You certainly are, yeah. Bentley, isn't there some way that I can whittle down this sum? I mean, some legitimate swindle?
Well, of course, you can claim if you've got insurance policies. They allow you a bit on them.
Well, the only insurance policy I've got is on this moustache of mine.
Really?
You've noticed it, haven't you?
I've noticed the moustache, yeah.
It's insured against flood, Colorado beetle, and the droops. Not against boll weevil, though. They wouldn't have boll weevil.
Wouldn't they?
No.
Well, whatever you've got, it is not enough, Jim. You must step it up. Now, I insured my voice.
Uh-huh.
They pay £1,000 in the event of my voice going cracked.
What did you do with the money? Can't you lend us a bit of that?
They haven't paid yet.
Oh, it hasn't cracked yet.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Now you've got it. Of course, your best plan is to claim for support.
Oh, I'm all right.
Yes. No, listen, Dick knows.
Yes.
Dick's pretty smart. If you're supporting your grandmother, they allow on that.
Well, my grandmother supports herself. Finest principal girl in the business.
No, listen. It doesn't matter where she works. Look, it doesn't have to be your grandmother. You're listening, Jim.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be her, because if you can prove that there's, well, anybody who's old and infirm and can't get a living without your help, then you're...
Miss Cogan, you can sing your song now. Come along, Bentley, come along, old dear.
Jim, I can walk without your help.
There, Benters. Mr. Bentley's shawl, please.
Don't be ridiculous.
Easy now,
you silly
Bentley.
Old sausage, you are.
A man is a creature we can't overlook, as easy to read as a page in a book. He'll boast and he'll brag of the women he's spurned, but just like a doorknob, his head can be turned. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A man, oh, a man, any woman will say, whatever he is, we like him that way. Strong as an ox or as meek as a pup, he's just a small boy who will never grow up. A leader by day, he can make business hum, then wind up at night under some woman's thumb. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A man, oh, a man, any woman will say, whatever he is, we like him that way. Complains that he's henpecked and treated so bad, but if he's ignored, then he hollers like mad. He knows all the methods of landing a fish, but still can't be trusted in drying a dish. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A man, oh, a man, any woman will say, whatever he is, we like him that way. We like him that way.
absolutely thickening, sir. Senseless, sir. Unnecessary, sir. Spurious, sir. Spirit-sapping, sir. A ceaseless, systematic swindling, sir.
It isn't raining rain, you know. It's raining epithets. Look here, Mr...
Disgusted of Tunbridge Wells will suffice. Sir, this week I address my protest to the Council of Industrial Design.
The Council of Industrial Design. Oh, yes, I know them well. Hardly a week goes by without them coming round to ask me where I got certain things.
No, Bentley, that's the other CID. Surely, Mr. Disgusted, the worthy council has nothing to...
Butter dishes!
And the same to you, sir. With little glass knobs on.
Oh. I mean the design of butter dishes, sir. Why do they always make butter dishes circular when they know perfectly well that butter comes in oblong?
Ours comes in greaseproof paper. Still, I suppose it takes all sorts.
Well, you take suitcases, then. Why doesn't somebody design a suitcase which opens from the bottom?
Why the bottom?
Because that's where you always seem to pack the things you want to get at first.
Well, that's a very helpful hint for holidaymakers. Yeah. In fact, you should send it to that Sunday afternoon programme, Holiday Hour.
Well, I don't think I know it.
Oh, you should. It's jolly good. Oh. Yes, it helps listeners make up their mind where to spend their summer holidays. Yeah. Yeah, for instance, they might take some little-known French seaside place and do a sort of feature on it.
A place, for example, like Chapeau sur la Bonce.
Chapeau sur la Bonce. A quaint fishing village, unspoilt by time, electricity, or main drainage.
Chapeau sur la Bonce, home of that great French sport, faisant les Anglais, or doing the English.
But how does an English tourist find this gem of watering places?
Well, I only found the place by chance, you see. Me and Sonia, well, that's the girl I go friends with, you see. We were on a continental cycling holiday. Well, we stopped there to enquire if we were on the right road for Norway. Well, the man in a bar there said we should have turned left at Boulogne, you see. And then, well, he and Sonia got chatting. She still writes to me occasionally.
Everything to delight the holidaymaker can be found at Chapeau sur la Bonce. You fancy a flutter? There is the municipal casino. By day, a fish market. By night, a glittering scene of exquisite gowns and high excitement.
D'accord. Faites vos yeux, monsieur, madame. Faites vos yeux. Rien ne va plus. Le numéro 11.
I say, croupier, what does 11 mean? I think I've won.
What did you put your money on, madame?
Number 11.
11 is French for 35.
Oh.
Faites vos yeux, madame, monsieur. Faites vos yeux.
One cannot visit Chapeau sur la Bonce without sampling its famous regional dish, omelette terrible.
This is a soup. It's terribly complicated. Everything that the fishermen catch in their nets goes into it. You know, seaweed, sand, old boots.
Summing up Chapeau sur la Bonce, you don't get the full flavor of the place unless you visit it during one of the French national holidays. Or, as they're sometimes called, strikes. Well, let us finish with an opinion of an Englishman who knows and loves the place.
Yes, I've been going there for years. I say it is a paradise for someone like me who's romantically inclined. I've always enjoyed myself at Chapeau sur la Bonce. I met my wife there. Thank heavens she didn't recognize me.
About the Jones boy?
Have you heard about the Jones boy?
Have you heard about the Jones boy?
The whole town is talking about the Jones boy. The Jones boy. The Jones boy. The whole town is talking about the Jones boy.
He acts mighty peculiar now. The whole town saying he was a good boy, a nice boy, a swell boy. The whole town saying he's not a well boy, he just isn't the same somehow.
He hops, he jumps, so merrily over the water pumps. He stops, and then he'll come to a pump and he'll jump again.
They're buzzing over the fences, that he's gone out of his senses.
The whole town stops.
talking about the Jones boy, the poor boy, the Jones boy.
But I just happen to be the Jones boy, and I happen to be in love. Yes, I happen to be in love.
The whole town's talking about the Jones boy, the poor boy, oh yes, the Jones boy. Cause he just happens to be the Jones boy,
and I happen to be in love.
Yes, he happens to be in love.
Tonight's talking point. Once again, we meet the Glums, our family of ordinary people coping with life's problems. Today, their talking point is bis dat qui cito dat. Over to the Glums.
Oh, Ron, isn't it exciting? Look, I've unwrapped it. Our first wedding present. Oh, Ron, don't you think it's beautiful? Or do you think it's too impractical?
I like it, Ed.
Do you really like it, Ron?
Yes, Ed. I like it.
I expect we could change it.
No, Ed. I like it.
You're not just saying you like it just because I said I like it.
No, Eth, I said I like it because I like it. I like it very much. Eth?
Yes, Ron?
What is it?
I don't know. But it's nice, isn't it? I think it's for me to stand on my dressing table.
Why do you want to stand on your dressing table, beloved?
Oh, no, Ron, to put hairpins in. Oh, it might be for serving sliced beetroot.
It's got a division down the middle.
Mm.
Perhaps it's meant to put hairpins in one side.
No,
and
Ron.
Sliced beetroot. Give us a kiss, eh?
Oh, Ron, you can't keep your mind on one subject, can you?
It's never been off it, eh? Come on, eh? Just a quickie. Let me sit on your lap again. Go on,
Ed. No, Ron, get over, Ron. No.
Well,
you know how this woolen skirt seats. Oh, Ron, get
well,
out.
Ed,
go on,
please.
You're heavy.
No,
hello,
no,
hello, hello. Parlour games. I shan't interrupt. Ron, have you seen the bottle of blue-black ink? I hate walking round with my heel showing through my sock.
Mr. Glum.
Yeah.
Look what's on the table.
Where? Oh, yes. Well, Ron, congratulations.
Thanks, Dad.
I'm proud of you, lad. That's the first time we've ever won anything on that crane machine.
Mr. Glum, it's a wedding present.
Oh, the loot started to roll in, has it, eh? Let's have a closer look.
What do you think it is, Mr. Glum?
Ooh, about 4 and 11, I should think.
It's not the price, Dad. It's the thought behind it.
Oh, I hadn't looked behind it. No. No, there's nothing there, eh? Yes, well, you know what this is, don't you?
I think it's a butter dish, Dad.
Don't talk wet. Butter dish is a circular. Said so on the wireless.
Might be a paperweight.
No, it's not that. Now I can take that paragraphically. No. I'll tell you what this is. This is what's called by them, what move in the circles where they use this sort of thing, a finger bowl.
Finger bowl?
Well, I'm surprised you never hear anything like that. It's often used in the big houses up Crouch End way. See, what happens is you fill it with warm water and boracic and plunge your hand in it, you see. Wonderful for a sore finger.
No, it's not that, Dad.
What do you mean, it's not that?
It's not that, Mr. Glum.
You're being more of a hindrance than a help, Dad.
Well, thank you. Now we know, don't we?
No, Dad didn't mean...
All right, all right. I can take a hint. Not as good as a wink to a blind drunk. Forget it.
But, Dad, our wedding present. What?
Forget it, I said. If you don't mind, Ron, I'd rather you dropped it.
Right-o, Dad.
Ron.
Yes, Dad?
I hadn't finished, had I?
No, Dad.
Oh, Ron, now we'll never know what it was. Aren't you broken-hearted?
No, Ed.
Why not?
I didn't like it, Ed.
Alma, would you care to come out on the balcony?
Any particular reason?
Yes, did you ever get that feeling in the moonlight? That wonderful feeling that you want to be kissed?
You're strolling in the park, the stars are bright above. You'd love to love somebody, but there's nobody there to love.
And did you ever get that longing on a June night? That wonderful longing you can never resist.
Oh, did you ever get that feeling in the moonlight? A feeling that says you want to be kissed.
Alma, would you care to dance?
I'd love to, dear.
You come here often?
Not very often. I'd come here more often if you came here more often.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's all right, my fault.
I like you, Alma.
You do?
You know what I think?
What do you think?
You're just my living, breathing doll. Did you ever get that longing on a June night?
That wonderful longing I can never resist.
Did you ever get that feeling in the moonlight? That feeling that says you want to be kissed. Oh, yes. That feeling that says you want to be kissed.
Waiter, three more brandies and soda, please.
Yes, I'll go and get it. Otherwise.
I say, Edwards, I see they're taking another archaeological expedition out to Egypt. What do these fellas hope to find when they make these excavations? I mean, what do they hope to dig up, eh? Bentley?
Yes. They're hoping, Your Grace, to find some fabulously age-old historical object. Something like the sacred scarab of Salome.
The sacred scarab of Salome?
In all the burning sands of the Nile Delta, there is no stranger abode than that high-walled white villa the camel drivers call Shufti El Bint. Inside, amidst furnishings of breathtaking opulence, lives Sheikh Abdomen Ben Dick. Handsome, sinister, and fabulously wealthy. As we meet him, he is reclining lazily on a pile of silken cushions, smoking a thin cigarette.
Masterful?
Yes, so master.
What I want, more than anything in the world, is the long-lost sacred scarab of Salome.
So that is what the English archaeologist and his secretary are digging for near the oasis.
Yes, the fools. That scarab will never belong to anyone but Sheikh Abdomen Bendik. I shall let them dig a great big hole, and then I shall step in.
Miss Margaret, this excavation is taking longer than I expected, you know. You'd better take a letter to the British Museum.
Very good, Professor Woolsey. I've got my book.
Oh, good. To the British Museum for the attention of the Curator of Egyptological Archaeology. That's an A and two O's and an A and
yes,
a two
very
O's
good.
There.
Yes.
Dear Ginger. There's a diphthong there. Well, now, the weather's been lovely here, and we've spent all day on the sands. By the way, that sunburn lotion the custodian of Egyptian mummies sent me turned out to be embalming fluid. Still, mixed with ginger ale, it proved quite drinkable. Yours in haste, Sir Mortimer Wolsey, I shall sign it myself. If you
very good, Professor. I've said it off tonight.
Effendi, great excitement, thrill of a lifetime. I have dug up long-lost scarab of Salome. I am a jolly good fellow.
Show me. By thundering Jupiter, this is it.
Where's my magnifying glass? Oh, yes, it's the genuine scarab, all right. See there, it has a date on it.
That's because we're standing under a palm tree. Miss Muggeries, flick it off.
Oh, Professor, this is the moment I've waited for all my life. Just look, has there ever been anything so beautiful, so wonderfully fashioned, so exquisitely proportioned?
Ah, my dear, there aren't many of us left. Yes.
How dare you, sir? How dare you enter our private digging, sir?
I am Sheik Abdomen Bendik, and my villa is but 4 miles to the east, as the camel flies.
What do you want here, sir?
I want the scarab of Salome. I must have it. Take any of my treasures in exchange. I have an ancient Egyptian indigestion tablet in mint condition.
No.
The skin of King Ptolemy's favorite camel. It would make a dressy overcoat for a band leader. Or even a musician.
No, don't worry.
I'll offer my most priceless possession. A hot water bottle that belonged to Cleopatra. Hardly used.
No, I don't suppose it was. I'm sorry, Sheik Abdomen, but the scarab of Salome must go to the British Museum. That will be put in a glass case to be viewed by generations of yawning fourth-formers.
I see. Then I must use methods more subtle, something devilish in its oriental ingenuity. Professor, look up in the sky.
Well,
there.
Well,
got it.
Oh, give me back that scarab at once! Oh, you dirty snatcher.
Oh, blow. My ruse may have failed, but I have other irons up my sleeve. Dear Miss Marguerite, au revoir.
Oh, goodbye, Sheik. I'll walk with you as far as the pyramids. I see you jolly nearly got me with that look up there.
What a fascinating man that Abdomen is. Hello. When he patted me on the head, he impaled a note on the spike of my topee. I read it aloud. It starts, "To the maddening enchantress in the army surplus boots." Oh, he even noticed what I wore. How does it go on? I read it aloud. "Come to my villa at 9 tonight. My moon of all loveliness, else I die of longing." Oh, muggers, this is it. Oh, there's a P.S. I read it aloud. P.S. Wear the scarab of Salome so that I can recognize you.
Dear Miss Marguerite, they call this the drink of young lovers. It is a tea brewed by young maidens from the essence of 1,000 rose petals.
As long as it's wet and warm, I'm not fussy. Would you care to pour?
Oh, nothing so crude. Oh, most beautiful of all the Muggeridges. You must be so hot, bundled up in all those warm clothes. Won't you take off your scarab and make yourself comfortable?
I say, shove up, chummy. This is a very small couch, and you're looming a bit.
I'm going to kiss you. Do you realize you're going to be kissed? By me, you poor girl.
Why?
Because the rest of your life will be nothing but anticlimax. Come, your lips.
I say, you've gone all spoony.
My dove, my gazelle.
Oh, well, let me finish my cuppa.
Hello. Larks? That's quite enough, Dicky Tom.
Abdomen Bendik.
Whoever you are, stop it. That woman is the property of the British Museum.
Professor Wolsey.
I've seen through your plan, Abdomen. You brought Miss Muggeridge here on the pretense of offering her desert passion. But all you were really after was a scarab.
By jingo, so that was it. What a fool I've been. All right, Sheik, give it to me.
Very well, here it is.
Oh, not the scarab, the desert passion.
Down, Miss Muggeridge, down, to heel. You might as well know, both of you, that this is not the real scarab. This afternoon, I hid the real scarab. I buried it deep in the desert, where it will be safe.
Are you sure you can find it again?
Of course I am. We professors are not the doddering old idiots you take us to be. I buried it in the sand, exactly 17 paces to the left from the front near side leg of my camel.
And then, what did you do?
Climbed on my camel and rode back into... I'm a silly old sausage, aren't I?
Oh, Professor.
Everybody out with buckets and spades. Here we go again.
Elliot Finwich and the augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards. Encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Elmer Cogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn, and the keynotes, Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in next week and...